Hey everybody, what is going on? I hope everyone is doing well, enjoying the nice weather, and welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 87. I am your host, Jeff Spencer. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for an entire season, an entire year, or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 86 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today and you want to hear more, please be sure to tell all your friends and subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Sweeten Up Podcast. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is part two of my two-part conversation with the great and powerful John Watson. John Watson is head brewer and owner of Watson Farmhouse Brewery, located in Southbury, Connecticut, and is also the head brewer at New Silent Brewing Company on the Fairfield Hills campus in Newtown, Connecticut. John started brewing beer as a hobby after his wife Tracy gifted him a home brewing kit more than 25 years ago. He quickly became frequent with the homebrew competition circuit, meddling in the national homebrew competition with his recipes. In 2000, he was named New England Home Brewer of the Year, and in 2004 earned Best of Show at the Masters Championship of Amateur Brewing. He has collaborated with a host of local commercial brewers, from Willimantic Brewing, Captain Lawrence Brewing Company in Pleasantville, New York, and more. Along the way, he helped build commercial breweries for others, including Voracious Brewing Company in Monroe, Tribus Beer Company in Milford, and Beer Naked in Wilmington, Vermont. John and I had an amazing conversation live inside of his brewery in Southbury, Connecticut. Our conversation lasted for almost 2 hours, and you already know we covered everything I just mentioned and so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, my friend, and part two of my two-part conversation with the one and only John Watson. New Silent, the inside. David Kingsley did such an incredible job with the architecture.
Yeah, I mean, they worked hard. I mean, I was so busy building, you know, I would help them build that brewery, but I had no time. I was just trying to, you know, keep my mortgage going on my house, doing mechanical work. So I did a lot of plumbing.
Gotcha.
I was building this brewery at the same time. So, like, yeah, they had a really great designer coming in, kind of like, I mean, they did not have to spend the money they spent in there. I mean, they really, like, went, you know, they made the whole inside look like it was marble. You know, the attention to detail on some of the things they hung that big ceiling over the bar, that didn't have to be there. I mean, it kind of looks cool, you know, with all the lighting on it. So they did a little more than they had to do just to get open, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which kind of delayed, you know, remember it was like,
yeah,
it was supposed to be open in like November, and then it didn't actually open till like June.
Yeah,
like,
they were a COVID success story.
They were delayed.
Yeah,
and it was I don't think COVID really had to do with the delays. It was just they didn't really realize how much work was actually in there.
Oh no, you know? Yeah.
I mean, like there was a lot to do.
But once they got going, yeah, they were a total success during such a difficult time.
Oh yeah,
and it was great for people, especially you get outside
with
all the outdoor space.
The isolated music, like you could sit on the side lawn, drink some beer, and hang out.
Come over
music
to the Watson Farmhouse Brewery tent.
Yeah, we had a little
John
tent going, man. We were pumping some beers.
Yeah,
with Lou Romano, who was like selling some ice cream cones. You know,
yeah,
like, yeah, we had fun there, man. Like that was good times. Like
Lou Romano,
yeah,
that's right.
Lou Romano, man, fucking pumping the waffle cones.
Yes, like, yes.
Right next to us.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Oh, we were exactly so good.
And that, talk to me about the Watson Farmhouse Brewery merch, because you got some awesome merch, killer merch. I mean, I'm see your hat right now.
Yeah, so.
And you have new flap rims I saw on
your
website.
We're pretty well traveling. I'll show you some stuff when we're done here.
Sure, sure.
Because people can't see it right now. But,
yeah.
We enjoy traveling a little bit, and we do it from time to time. And I always had a good concept for what I wanted my brewery art to look like, and it's kind of based off a weather vane. My brewery logo, it's just basically a rooster with like the, you know, like the northwest, southeast kind of like cross on it, and we love reggae, so of course we Rasta some of it up. You know, like our logo is kind of like we took that weather vane and kind of Jamaican flagged it.
Yeah,
up
it looks
a little
like
bit.
The Jamaican flag.
Jamaican flag. Yeah. Nice. And then we, you know, red and gold and green, it was the Rasta, which is the Ethiopian flag, which is where Rastas actually came from. They were slaves that got removed from Africa and they went to Jamaica and they brought their culture to Jamaica. And there's still actually an area in Ethiopia that they live tax-free called Shashamani. The Rastafarian, the Nyabingi drummers, like all that.
Wow.
Culture still lives, and we love that. That's some important stuff to us. So we have the, if you look right over my shoulder, we have the Ethiopian flag hanging right next to Bruce Lee,
who's pretty
important too. And, you know,
Gathering of the Vibes.
Gathering of Vibes, which I built the Gathering of the Vibes Festival for many years.
No way.
That was me. I did all the plumbing for them. We would work a full week hooking all their plumbing to the infrastructure through my mechanical company.
Gotcha.
Met a lot of great musicians there and built that. It was like a big part of our life in the summer.
Yeah.
Doing that. Grateful Dead, Banner as well, Eagles.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, yeah, childhood hero of mine.
Love Bruce Lee.
I think I popped like 3 balloons to win that at a carnival right there.
That's awesome. And now... Yeah, it's come. There's something coming back to Seaside Park. Sound on Sound.
Yeah, Sound on Sound. Yeah. Sounds great.
No pun intended.
Yeah, sounds great.
But you're gonna go.
But
to
that was that. You know, so we set up a village that could handle camping and a lot of people.
Nice
parking and like it was a lot to do. I mean, you know, it was Terrapin Productions.
Right.
You know, Ken Hayes. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about Bridgeport, but. Well, they sure gave him a handful of every time it went down, man. They milked him dry, so that's kind of why it's not there.
Right.
And we did a lot of work there, and it was fun, and it was a lot of camaraderie with people that you'd see once a year there. All the musical people that are out on the streets now, they're still doing great things, and it was, you know, pretty fun time. I think we started that in like 2007 when it came back to Bridgeport, and we did it all the way to 2015.
Wow.
Building that festival, which again, it's like, you know, I shut my plumbing company down for a week just to do that. Like, you know, which, you know, and I didn't make a lot of money doing it. Like, so I would lose money to do it, but it was like one of those passions that you got to follow, like where, you know, it's like music and people that in the industry of music that get together and all give a little to make something great, you know? So everybody's compromising to do something and it never even made the organizers enough money to keep it going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was bled dry.
Right.
Like, basically.
Do you still plumb? You know, are you still a plumber? Do you still do
plumbing? No, I don't do plumbing. I shut my company down shortly after I opened and I just couldn't, you know, do both. Like,
sure.
And it was like expensive to keep the insurances going. And I still have my plumbing license and heating license. I go to continuing education every year for that just to keep it because it'd be very hard to get back. And if I ever want to build another brewery for myself or a tap room or something, I could do all the work myself and pull all the permits. So
that's awesome.
So I don't think I'll let that go. I mean, it was very hard work to get those licenses and to keep them going. And, you know, it requires like, I don't know, maybe 6 hours of continuing education every other year for my plumbing license.
Right.
And there's no continuing education for the heating license. But that, you know, if I ever need to pull a permit to do anything, I don't have to pay some other person to do that for the plumbing. And I could build it all myself because that's what I do. I mean, that's what I've done for years. And like, I built like, all these other breweries like Tribus and Voracious and
Tribus and Beer Naked.
Tribus we built from the, you know, from the ground up with Matt, Sebastian, and ex-brewers from like New England.
Yeah,
they're great guys. They're fun. They're very fun to work with. We had so many good times playing music and just.
I can't tell from their social media that they're having fun.
One of the best stories, we were like, we had an 8-inch sewer main. Like coming in, and we had to like bring it across the whole brewery to the other end, and all the plumbing came off these huge pipes that were they had to dig this huge trench, and Sebastian and what's his name? Matt was left behind. Here's the story. Matt was left behind, and so Sean and Sebastian went to New York to go to some brewery to do a collaboration brew, and Matt was left behind because he was having a baby.
Okay.
And he couldn't leave because it was any day.
Gotcha.
So he's in the trench, and we had to have, you can't just raise a pitch wicked high with that size pipe. It just doesn't bend that way, or the fittings just don't, it just doesn't happen. So there's a bunch of ledge, and he had to jackhammer it out. And he spent all day jackhammering this thing. And after he was trying to walk down the trench, and he was bouncing off the edges, and my buddy goes, "You're trench drunk."
So
You're trench drunk, man. So Matt was trench drunk, man, that one day. Because he just kept bouncing off the edges.
That's trying crazy.
Because he was so, beat up from jackhammering.
Right. And they're over there in Milford, Connecticut.
Over in Milford, man. They're doing it right, man. They, really built a beautiful brewery, yeah, and it's a good spot.
Yep.
And great artists and
Dan
great
food
people
truck.
That work there, and great food trucks.
Yep.
And right next to the motocross track, so you can get to hear some bikes pumping and thumping.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
And they're all good people, man.
And then Beer Naked in Wilmington,
yeah,
Vermont.
Yeah, so this ex-Newtowner moved up to Vermont and had no idea about anything, but wanted to open a pizza shop. And so we went up and didn't know a lot about draft systems and all that and how to pour beer. But the restaurant he took over had, 15 taps right in the middle of Wilmington, Vermont.
That's not bad.
Right near Mount Snow. And my buddy Mark Dambasio and Sharky, and we all came up and helped him out trying to get this pizza place turned back into this pizza place beer bar.
Gotcha.
And I'd say about within a year, year and a half of him operating it, he noticed that the hair salon next door was failing and and he told the landlord, "When that hair salon fails, I want that spot. I'm going to build a brewery in it." And it was just this house, big open room on the first floor. But we just kind of retrofitted this big hood system. And we had this open burner, three barrel brew house we shoved in this corner with a floor drain.
Wow.
And it was super sketch, and it was so hot when you're brewing there. The flames were cranking, and it was even in the winter, you'd be sweating with no heat in there. So we built this small brew house, and then fermentation was in the basement. So we had to we cut a hole through the wall, shot a hose down the stairs. So every time you were going from the kettle into the fermenter was in the, you had to shoot a hose through the wall. Someone on the other side of the wall had to grab it. It was it's like a rat dog operation, but it made beer, and it made good beer, and it ran for a while and made beer, and it also sold a lot of other mostly Vermont beers. So we're showcased at that Pizza Palooza bar area.
Nice.
And we usually had about three or four. So I was a little slow at plumbing at the time, so I didn't care. I'd help them build stuff, run gas lines, do whatever I had to keep the brewery going. Brew the beer. One of the first beers we brewed, Mark Dambasio, who actually taught Jason how to make pizza, came up and brewed the first beer that we brewed on that system. And
Renaissance man.
Throughout the years, it might have been there 2 years, 3 years. I don't know what it was, but this other property came for sale up on the skyline, they call it, which is top of Hogsback Mountain in Marlboro, which is right up Route 9. So we ended up dismantling the whole brewery and building it again on the top of the mountain and getting it going again.
Damn.
And which was more legit because it was everything was on one level. You didn't have to throw a hose down in the basement and worry about cleaning tanks in the basement and.
Nice.
It was much easier, and I did that for a while, and I was still at the time building my own brewery, so I was running a plumbing company, building a brewery, running that brewery in Vermont, kind of back and forth, formulating recipes. Everything was my formulation, and then a lot of times it was left up to Jason, who was the owner, to rack beer, move beer, carbonate beer. So he was almost like the cellar guy. I would produce the wort, get it into fermenter, Sometimes I come back up, I transfer the beer, do some of the cellar work, but I had to kind of teach them as we were going. A person that didn't understand really how to make beer, like right. So. But you know, I think you got it after a while that you know there's a little more than just like hanging out. There's a lot of stuff to do in a brewery. I mean, it just never ends. Like, it all has to happen at a timely phase. Yeah. You know, like
no, exactly.
Yeah. So
I mean, and being here right now inside of your brewery, which is right next to your house, which is so cool. I mean, how long did it take this building to go up?
Well, I think we started like we kind of like once the town let us like do this, like 2017. We had leveled the space and come up with a plan, and we actually got the Amish Lancaster pole building, so they came up and instead of like doing a foundation, we decided to do a pole barn because it's much cheaper to do a metal building that way. So this is actually a pole barn with floating slab, which is all radiant heat. If you look over here, we have like a wall hung boiler hooked to hoses.
That yeah, it's nice in here.
So yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, it's very well conditioned. It's very
beautiful.
Cheap to kind of run. So it took about like 2 solid years of work to slowly to do on my spare time, really. To get all the mechanicals, all the conduit running from one end of the building to the other, to where it, you know, it needed to go for wires. So pretty much everything's underground, all the water, the drainage. We had to get electrical from the house over to here. We drilled the new well. We pounded a well that makes really great water. Built a massive walk-in cooler here.
Yeah,
for us, it's massive. I mean, it's probably not that massive for anybody else.
No, but, it is massive. Yeah. This whole thing is just so impressive. I mean, the fact that you can just step outside your house and it's right here.
I mean, that's what it should be. I mean, we're like...
It's awesome.
We're like, this is what... We were going to move away from Connecticut to do this in Vermont because you can do this in Vermont.
But
the fact that you can't do it in Connecticut is they're just kind of more... They're more like about the taxes, the money, the permits, the money it costs to get permits.
Oh,
sure. Oh, you want to do that? Oh, just give us $10,000 and we'll
go right ahead.
You can go before the zoning board and they'll tell you like maybe you can do it. So the fact that Southbury finally stepped up and said that we can do this was the reason we stayed.
Shout out to Southbury.
Yeah.
Shout out to.
But we're still not allowed to do on-site sales or anything like that. So we're still a driven brewery. Where every drop of beer is sold outside here.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but are you technically the only brewery in Southbury?
Yes. Yeah, there's no brewery in Southbury.
Yeah.
I don't even think there's a winery.
On that front, there's not much, but they got the restaurants, they got the stores.
If you think about downtown Southbury, there's not a lot of like warehouse space. It's all
very true.
It's all very high driven rent. Yep. Real estate. So if I wanted to rent something to do a tap room, I would have to be almost like a restaurant that stayed open like 7 days a week. And that's not what I want. I want to I'm totally looking for a tap room.
Sweet.
Offsite to.
That's awesome.
Also do maybe barrel aging, blending, bottling.
Are you aging some right now?
What's that?
Are you aging anything right now?
Oh, yeah. We got barley wine and imperial stout, maple brown ale over there in the corner.
I love maple brown.
But we would love to do more of a sour program in a different building where we can do like spawn beers.
Love it.
Mixed culture, all that in barrels and blend and bottle in the, I one of my favorite places to go in Maine is Oxbow in Portland. And they have this facility that is the perfect dream of mine to blend, to bottle, to have a tap room, to have the public come and smell the air in there is fantastic because all that smell is coming out of all these barrels that they have and they're blending. Any day you walk in there, the smell is different and it's always good. Oh, wow, this is so much fermentation bleeding through the wood vessels that are in there and that's what I want. I want that kind of situation in a local to me place that isn't far away. So
yeah,
I would say Newtown, Brookfield, Southbury, if it could exist, but there's not a lot of space that could do this and do the tap room. So eventually, we may have to build something somewhere, buy a lot, build something ground up. Whatever it takes in the future to do that, that is our next goal, to to have a tap room where we can see our public, our fans, our people that want to drink Watson Farmhouse beers come to us, drink a pint, buy a four-pack, maybe have a food truck, whatever it takes to kind of get that all together. But we're, you know, right now we're just focused on just keep rolling, making beer. I mean, that's what we do. So we're always looking to buy a little more equipment, grow a little bit, but we're not looking to bust the seams. We're not looking for investment from corporate America to do something bigger than our means. You know what I mean? We'd like to keep it small and keep the quality up.
Yeah.
We don't want a contract brew. I think contract brewing is like kind of ruined Belgium over the last couple of years. Whereas like, I don't know if you know, De La Seine Brewery, Yvonne de Betz, I was talking to him recently how contract brewing has ruined the integrity of kind of like, it's just washed out everything. It's just so saturated with marketers making beer that kind of, yeah, just kind of, it ruins the whole playing field. The people like the small guy that's actually making his own beer, there's 50 beers against his for every one he makes that are contract brewed by marketers that have never made beer, that just want beer and just plaster a label on a bottle and sell it in the public. And it just confuses the beer drinking community into thinking that that is like a well-made beer when it's really not, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that, I'm against that 100%.
Like, I know what you mean. It's those crazy beers that random, you know, that people come up with an idea. They want to start a brewery. They have the money to put down to have a certain brewery make their beer for them. In fact, Zach Ross was on this season on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
12%.
Yeah, so
Marlow Ales, which Marlow Ales is top notch. I mean, absolutely amazing stuff.
Well, that's the one beer that's actually made by the brewer.
And go figure, it's the best.
At 12%, right?
Like, yeah.
It's the only one, right?
Exactly. Like, and so, but there's days where Zach is like, I'm making, you know, I'm making that beer today for Omnipolo, the Himmler or Himmler that has the fries in it and the vanilla and the burger buns. Yeah, I mean, that's,
I don't care about anything like that.
Right, right. you're sticking to true beer.
We always say we make beer flavored beer.
And yeah,
we stand beer behind that, beer. And we make all of our own beer. So we didn't build the one barrel brew house so that we can have a bigger brewery make all our beer and just have a footprint somewhere. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of those in Connecticut and across New England, across the country. There's people that went into the business with very little income and very little knowledge of actually making beer, but they can make money doing it.
Yeah.
They do make money doing it.
Yeah.
But they're not making like
quality.
Any
herb.
Or they're,
like you said, beer that tastes like
one drop out of every, you know, million drops of beer that are made. Like, so like we make every drop of beer that we make.
Right.
So no one.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
And I sleep at night because of that. Like I know that every ounce of liquid I make is under my control.
Right.
Like, and here at Watson Farmhouse, so the biggest difference between, like, if you ask me about Nusam and my brewery, like, I control 100% of what goes on at Watson Farmhouse Brewery. Nusam is run by three other partners.
Right.
I just do what I'm told.
Yeah.
Like, and I know how to make great beer. You tell me to make that style of beer.
John, make great beer.
I'll make that beer for you.
Right.
Like, I will do that. but so there's a lack of control. Like, you know, if Mark wants to use a certain yeast or this or that, it's out of my control. So the biggest difference between there and here is I control everything at Watson Farmhouse. It is my dream brewery that I built, you know, myself. I didn't have anybody, you know, do any, you know, I had one guy help me weld some pipes and get my steam boiler going. But other than that, this thing is like, you know, this is my retirement project. This is, I brew it all. I deliver it all. I see it from start to finish. And it's fun to do. And it's sometimes it's numbing, you know, like like, is this real? Or, you know, am I doing,
yeah, you can just...
am I overworking myself? Yeah. But, like, the commute's really good. I don't That's waste awesome. Any time commuting. Like, the 20 foot steps from the back door to the side door of the brewery are pretty epic.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm really glad that you brought up that point about all these different beers and the saturation. Yeah. Because years and years ago when I first got into craft beers, I was definitely one of those people that was like, oh, I got to try this, you know, birthday cake, double marshmallow, you know, orange
you
mango stout,
or
sour beer. I got to try that. It's got like 10 ingredients and it's 12%, so I got to try it.
Yeah.
And that was all well and good back then, but as I drank more and more and, you know, drank more and more beers and got older, maybe it was getting older, I started to really, really understand that that's not what it's about. I mean, for some people, sure, if you like that, that's fine. There's no problem with that. And there are some places that could do those beers and they taste pretty good. But like you were saying, beer-flavored beer, you know, traditional just beer, just really good brewed beer.
Balanced beer. You know,
that doesn't have all these ingredients.
A beer should
and all these hops.
Taste like something.
Yeah.
And the one thing it should taste like is beer.
Yeah.
But it should almost like have a start, a middle, and a finish.
Yeah.
Like it should like move through your palate when you drink it. Like it shouldn't just hammer you with sugar.
Right.
And then hit you with vanilla and cinnamon and figs and everything else, chocolate and coffee. And like that I mean, there's a market for that, but that's not our market.
Do you use lactose in any of your beers?
I use lactose at New Salem, and we make one beer called Cattle Call, which is a milk stout,
right,
which is important to that style, that lactose sugar should be in there, which makes the beer sweeter.
Yeah.
We use zero lactose here at our brewery because we don't like sweet beer, so we make even our... So another difference between, if you think about New Salem and Watson Farmhouse Brewery, is that we use we don't say we make New England IPA, and we don't say we make West Coast IPA, but we do use two different yeast strains, one being an East Coast yeast strain, which is actually an English strain, but we use another yeast strain that dries the beer out. So we don't want our beer to be residually sweet in taste, because you know, I don't like sugary things. Like I like bitter, I like sour.
Yeah.
But my favorite beers have been West Coast beers. I don't need all that bitterness. And I don't try to project that bitterness in my beers, but I do want some. I don't want to just leave that, because that's how you balance a beer. It kind of has a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of hop flavor, and a little bit of dryness and fruit driven flavor in it. So that's how I designed my IPAs. We do make one beer here that no lactose. It's just, we use just one yeast strain in it, which is the Conan yeast strain from Vermont. And it's a little sweeter. It's called Cool Ruler. We make a beer that's really specifically designed to be a New England IPA. And it's 6%. So the drinkability is there. It's not too alcoholic. It has flaked oats, wheat, and it stays hazy, but it doesn't finish dry. So it more hits you with mosaic. You know, I don't know if you know mosaic hops. They're kind of berry like. They're a little dank. They're a little piney. You know, it's a very versatile,
widely used.
It's a great hop to use as a single hop.
Yep,
and that's why we use it. So it's a very good. As a single hop, it's a crowd pleaser. You know, like, so if you think of like one beer that hop kind of dominates, it would be like Supernaut.
Yeah.
Like Supernaut from New England.
Yeah. Like
they're pounded with mosaic. I mean, it's a great hop, but not everybody likes that hop, but most people do. You know, that like the style of New England IPA.
I do. So it's up there for me, so for sure. That was, you know, of course,
we
Citra.
Decided to use the that legendary hop. With the sweetness, because it's a little danker, it's a little pinier. It can kind of contrast that little extra sweetness and make it more balanced. And that's what we like in our beer, is balance.
Yeah, Citra, Mosaic, Galaxy, Sentinel.
Yeah.
What's this? The other one that begins with a P, I forget. It's Chris Siski's favorite. Oh, he's gonna kill me.
I love that P.
Is it with a P? Or maybe it's not with a P. Oh my gosh.
Where's it from, man?
It's from
is it Simcoe or no?
It's from Simcoe's. Oh no, no. Sorry, it's not with a P. I don't know why I thought P. Yeah. Nelson.
Oh, Nelson, yeah. Yeah, New Zealand. Because
Nelson starts with a P.
Yeah, that's Nelson's Haven. It tastes like white grape. Yeah.
Yes.
It's very dominant. We use that in our Saison, our barn fine. Mm. So we make a Saison that's very a little bit phenolic, not a lot of phenolics, but very fruity. And we find that dry fruity with a little bit of that that kind of white grape taste in it is great. Like
post-shift Pilsner, yeah. That's what he likes with Nelson.
Yeah.
The post-shift Pilsner at Jack's.
Yeah. Definitely Nelson. It's not for everybody. That can be a little too much.
Yeah.
But we use just a very little bit of it, like in like that one beer, our farmhouse ale, which is called Barnfine, and we do like that hop. We don't push that beer or that hop into our IPA, or our pilsners. Like it's pretty dominant. It goes a long way, and some people don't like that. I mean, I do like a good Nelson beer from time to time, but I wouldn't want to be stuck with like a whole case or a lot of it.
Yeah. And the only reason I mentioned lactose before was because I noticed that there's a lot of breweries and
they put it in their IPAs, everything.
They put it in their IPAs. And honestly, it was too much. It's too much for me.
It just makes the beer like, if so.
Not saying it's not good.
In a way that
me,
you're using, like, say you're just using, like, let's just call it London 3 ale yeast, which is a pretty used ale strain, doesn't get that terminal when it ferments, so it leaves a lot of residual sugar behind.
Gotcha.
So if you take that yeast strain and then add lactose on top of it, you're going to make a very sweet beer. Like, I mean, you could dry hop the hell out of it, and you're just going to confuse people with, like, sweet.
It gives me a chalkiness like in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Yeah. It does.
I know. Just wasn't crazy about it.
It's just milk sugar. I mean, and it's unfermentable. So it won't, once it's in a beer, it stays there. Yeast can't break it down. It just.
It gave me these.
Yeah. It's going to give you udders. So that's, again, why we don't use it. Yeah. There was that thing years ago. They said, the over drinking of IPA will give you man boobs. I think it's just, you drink a lot of any beer, I think you're going to get man boobs. I don't think it's the IPA.
No,
like,
I know.
The hops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been great. Couple more things.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up. John Watson of Watson Farmhouse Brewery and New Silent Brewing Company. We're over here in Southbury. It took me a little bit to get here. I was surprised.
Yeah, we're a little off the beaten path. We're kind of squeezed in between like exit 10 and 14.
I love it. But
so
it
if you come from Danbury, you're going to go off exit 10. You're going to rip through the the river and the farm hills and go by the Mitchell Farm. And
that's exactly what I did.
We love where we live because it reminds us of like not being in Connecticut and still being in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And still being close to like, civilization.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could move upstate Connecticut and it could take you like forever to get like to Danbury or like Hartford or like, but we're in a good location where it's kind of like easy to get. Like if we go to Brookfield, we go the back roads through Bridgewater and we're there quick.
That's where I work. I work in Brookfield.
We can get to Newtown quick. If we go the other way, we can get to like Hartford and get on the road to go to Boston where our kids live quick. So we're in a good spot. It's a little removed from the highway. It's very hilly. So four wheel drive is pretty important up here.
Oh yeah.
In the winter and stuff, but
I know what you
mean.
We
have cows around here. We love to see cows, and
it
makes us feel, human. Like we're not like stuck in some big city, like in the rat race. Like, and our commute's good. Like I said again, like we're disconnected from the rat race. Even when I drive my other job where I brew in Newtown, it's like a 15-minute ride.
Exactly.
Like, the commute doesn't suck.
Yeah, through beautiful Newtown.
Yeah, and the only reason it can get a little trafficky is because the highway melts down and everybody's on the back roads. But I have a couple tricks to bob and weave and,
and
pop in there like without.
There you go.
So, this area is great. I mean, we moved to Southbury. We tried to live in Newtown. Couldn't find anything. We found this property. Loved it. Fixed it up. been here since 1998. Raised my kids through Southbury Schools, who done really well. Both had academic scholarships to get through school.
Nice.
My daughter's still in BU.
Nice.
She's on a wicked scholarship. I could not send my daughter to BU without these scholarships. So I'm very lucky to have two very well-raised kids. My wife's probably to blame for that more than me. She's very driven.
Right.
She's very smart.
That's awesome.
Kids followed that lead.
Nice.
Read a lot, young. Our school system's good. It's the Region 15, like Pomperog school system. So I would recommend to anybody. I mean, Newtown school systems are probably great, too. I mean, we could have ended up there, but we ended up right over the river here where the taxes are less.
Yes.
And,
whole different county.
Yeah, a whole different county, man. New Haven County, baby.
That's it. We're like
right,
County.
All three counties meet right here.
I know.
If you notice, like, you got New Haven, Litchfield, and Fairfield County all meet right here, like right here. Where I live.
Right here at Watson Farmhouse.
Roxbury Falls, right down the road, man. They all pound together right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you super proud of with what you've done in the brewing world? Here with your own thing, you're at New Salem, and you're doing what you love, and what are you proud of, and what do you love about
it? I don't
have
time to be proud.
It's time to reflect, John.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm proud to have gotten where I've got so quickly with, like, help. You know, like, I think the biggest reason I'm here is my wife.
Shout out to Tracy.
Tracy Watson, our workhorse, our co-brewer here at Watson Farmhouse.
Love it.
We kid and call her Sweatshop sometimes because she's worked. We work her too hard. Not that I want
to. Hey, if you ever need help, I'd love to learn. So love to come.
You know, that's one good thing about owning a brewery is everybody wants to help. You know, we can here. You know, we need help when we can. And cool. We have, you know, beers that are filled low that you can kind of crank while you're canning or bring some home with you. Like,
nice.
There's developmental problems that happen.
The John Watson School of Brewing. Yeah. I can already see it.
Yeah, so right now we do I've already been through one intern from Sacred Heart at New Salem, and we have a new one. Will, our guy. So first, we have this guy TJ.
Awesome.
Came from Sacred Heart, and we raised him from a little old man. Well, no, he's a middle-aged man to a big old man. And then now we got this guy Will, who's a great guy, man. He's like working on the ferry, like going across to like Long Island. I think he's out of New London, but he. He's doing some positive things for his life. He's like, I don't think I want to be a ferry worker the rest of my life. So
sure.
I'm going to go to Sacred Heart and get a brewing degree. And now we're teaching him, what we can at a brew pub.
You get a brewing degree at Sacred Heart?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have
awesome.
They have a program now. It's about 3 years old, I think.
That's
cool.
And
they're really
that's very cool.
They're really... focusing on helping like Afro-American community too. Like they're doing wicked scholarships for that.
Nice.
So really glad to see like they're getting some underprivileged people that couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
Scholarships and New England Brewing Company is one of them that's really giving back.
That's awesome.
To that. I mean, I wish I could do more, but at least I have the ability to teach these people as they come through in front of me. I can, I love to joke and mess with these guys a little bit. It's fun, it's just easy to have fun with these guys when they're so green, but we don't heckle them or anything. We have little in and out jokes
that's awesome.
Try and teach people with like humor, right? You remember, like, if it was just a dry thing where you're like hanging out like a robot, it wouldn't be as good as if, like, you told someone to do something they didn't have to do. Like,
of course.
And watch them do it. And be like, oh, you didn't have to do that.
Of course. So two more things. And one of those is, what is a typical day like for you when you're brewing and you're distributing and everything? What is a typical day like? You get up and then what happens next?
Well, generally here, like, we get up, fire up the boiler. It takes about an hour to heat up the water.
Okay.
So we're usually generally trying to make sure the water's all like homogenized or the same temperature in a tank by 9:15, 9:20. We usually mash in. We start you know, running all our grain through this auger system up into the cattle or into the mash tun.
Cool.
And then, you know, we try and get it all in and get it, you know, the wort looking clean so it can move to the cattle. So generally, like, from start to finish, it's like we come in here at, like, you know, 9 o'clock after the boiler's already... We set up the night before, so it's all ready to go.
Nice.
And then you just click the boiler on and, you know, things heat up. We're generally out of here by, like, 3, 3.30 is a brew day. So not, you know, it's a 6.5-hour day here. This time's a little different. We're, you know, I'm usually in there by, like, 8.30. We're usually all out of there by, you know, 4 o'clock, depending on, you know, how much grain, you know, goes into the mash tun. We make very hazy IPAs there, so
yeah.
We're adding a lot of grains, a lot of proteins that turn into, like, wallpaper paste, so the mash kind of runs slower.
Yeah.
Which can add some hours, you know.
Sure.
So it really depends on what we're making there. You can shave an hour, hour and a half, here or there.
Sure.
But it's generally, you know, grain in. You know, typical brewer's day is grain in, grain out, wort in the kettle,
yeah.
Hops in, hops out.
Right.
You know, like, wort in the fermenter, pitch yeast, and then we brew 2 days in a row here because every beer is 2 brew days. We don't try and do that in the same day.
Okay.
We're on a well here, and we don't want to try and overtax it or, sure. You know, like... So it just works better to do 2 brews here, 2 days in a row. And same thing in Nusam. We don't try and over... We're not a production brewery, so we're not, like, looking to squeeze out these, you know, little gaps in numbers. We're just looking to kind of make some beer and not kill ourselves. So, you know, like... So, I mean, we could save an hour, hour and a half.
Sure.
By doing it the same day, but...
Right.
Just not our focus to, like, work 14, 15 hours in a day.
Gotcha.
On our feet, you know what
right.
I mean? Just, we're too old, you know. I'm 51 years old, man. I feel sore after just the 6.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, listen, John, this was great. I got one more question for you.
Yeah. The big one, Elizabeth.
The big one, Elizabeth. And that is a question I've been asking all my guests since I started my show. Which is, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to be in New Haven, obviously we know Connecticut is known to have the best pizza in the country.
Oh, yeah.
And New Haven's the hot spot.
The other night, man. And some Sally's, baby.
Oh, did you? Yeah. There we go.
And, well, we were at the casino to go see Goose the other night. We went to Frank
Goose,
Pepe's,
right.
too, yeah.
There you go.
Which is, you know, it's really not the real deal. But
exactly.
We have deep history with that because my wife's parents, when they met, my wife's dad's family used to provide... wood and stuff for the spot, the original wood-fired oven, which eventually became coal-fired.
Oh, wow.
You know, which was the original Pepe's location right next to it. You know the spot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so some of the first dates I had with my wife were...
Worcester Street.
Were Worcester Street at the spot. Dude.
Yeah.
So we go way back, like, for that. Like, then, you know...
Well, that's my question.
And then, like, Libby's for desserts, man. Oh, geez. Italian ices and the... Cannolis and, you know.
Well, that's my question.
Yeah.
The big debate is, what's the best pizza in New Haven? What's your favorite?
So another thing, too, like, when I grew up in Richfield, and I don't know, do you know Genoa Deli in Richfield? So
I feel like I should.
So Rocco,
I mean, I know
and Saverio,
a lot of delis.
two very great people that I grew up knowing.
Okay.
So Genoa Deli, so the D'Argangelo family.
Okay.
So there was Gigetto, Rocco, and Saverio. Their sister married into the modern pizza family.
Oh.
And they were like, screw that, Pepe's. Go to modern. So they sent me, like, I knew at an early age that modern was the jam.
Yeah.
So I got to say, and modern has eggplant.
Yep.
No one, like, no one else has it. Like, no
modern's
one
a favorite. Frank Pepe and modern.
Yeah.
But bar, too. People always mention bar,
so I
got to
say, like, original OG, the spot.
Okay.
For me.
Gotcha.
And, you know, spot, like, it's the oldest oven in New Haven.
Yeah.
It's the spot. It's
right.
It's the oldest. It's,
yep.
You look at the stone on the front, the wooden paddle wore like a horseshoe in it from just friction.
Yep.
That's how old it is. And, being vegetarian, I love eggplant. Modern was the only one you can get good eggplant on.
Right.
So consistently, I think if I had to choose right now where I would go probably to Modern.
Okay.
Their pizzas are, and what you got to know about Modern, they Modern has two ovens. There's a takeout oven.
Yes.
And it's to stay oven.
I know.
So you want it to stay.
You want it to stay.
Because that's the old oven. Yeah.
I love it. That's great. That's great. Yeah. And on a whole, and on another note, what are some pizza that you like around this local area?
Oh, Roseland, of course.
Yes.
The closest, greatest pizza of around.
It's, oh, Derby.
I mean, people say Zapardi's, but Zapardi's is farther away.
Yeah.
Roseland, for me, of course, Matt's killing it over
there.
Good old days.
Yeah.
Like, that's it for me.
And what are some restaurants that you like to go to in the local area?
So, I like Sesame Seed in Amory.
Yes,
I grew
me
up,
too.
I grew up on that.
Me too. I love that place.
That Lebanese guy that owns it.
Do incredible
name,
job.
Man, but like,
their hummus is...
Grew up on... So, me and the wife, that was our date night every Friday night.
Nice.
Sesame Seed.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great.
We definitely... Shashamani in well, that's pretty far away, but Shandong. So I'm going to say one of the closest vegetarian restaurants, which I think is entirely vegan, is Shandong's in Bridgeport.
Okay.
Vegan Caribbean food.
Ooh.
Like, really.
That sounds
it's
awesome.
It's on the Capitol in Maine.
That sounds awesome.
It's right near, like, you know, Mommy's Patties.
Yes.
On Capitol in Maine, right,
sure,
around the corner, Shandong's.
Of course.
You go in there, it's just a buffet. He'll hammer you with all the stuff.
I went to school in Bridgeport.
So. That is, you'll see like Jamaican vegan stuff everywhere, but there's nothing. This guy's like on another level, and he's just hanging out, probably getting high all day, making the best food ever, and he's just happy.
That's awesome.
And it shows in his food that he's very happy, and it's very his mom's recipes, grandma's recipe, whatever. It's
got
all
to.
Great. I also think as far as like really, we make more curry here in my house than we probably make anything else because we're vegetarian.
Nice.
And Thai curry. So I don't know if you've been yet, but have you been to September in Bangkok?
No.
In New Haven?
No.
Oh, you must go.
Okay.
Cocktails are beautiful presentation. The food, they have the blue rice, the jasmine blue rice.
Ooh.
You
good
must
to know.
Go. And it's like three blocks from Modern on State Street.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
love State Street.
Like, yeah, we're pretty set in our ways when it comes to food, so
cool.
We'll hit for dessert on the way out in Westville, Pistachios. It's like a little coffee shop on
yes,
the corner.
Yes,
by where Delaney's was before
yes.
it burned down?
Yep.
Right there, man. This guy, he's a little Syrian guy that makes these beautiful, everything's pistachio. You can get a latte with pistachio milk in it.
Ooh.
Another thing, one of the favorite things, pistachio ice cream from Arthusa. It's out right now.
Oh.
Comes out once a year.
Arthusa is amazing.
Arthusa's pistachio ice cream. Blow your mind if you like pistachio.
Love pistachio.
Culinary things around here, I mean, that's definitely some of the good hits.
That's awesome.
We do like, for around here, we love Indian food. We go to like Caribbean islands. Because we're vegetarian, we always eat Indian because there's a lot of Caribbean restaurants that are Indian.
Right.
So we do eat Newtown Jula Himalaya is pretty nice.
I got to get over there. Cool. I've heard good things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they, if you want the Momo kind of dumplings and all
nice.
That. I mean, the best, you know, you got to go to Jackson Heights, man, if you want all that stuff.
Yeah.
You got to go to New York
That's
if you want
awesome.
The real deal.
Of course. Yeah. Always.
But
listen.
Yeah.
John Watson, Watson Farmhouse Brewery and New Asylum, making his dream happen. He's here. He's crushing it. He's killing it. You're one of my favorite brewers.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
And everything you touch and everything you make is tremendous. And I've tried them all, and they're all incredible. And I highly encourage those listening, if they've never had Watson Farmhouse beer before, definitely check your local store if you're in around the Newtown, you know, the Fairfield County area.
South Bury, yeah.
I'm sure it's around. Definitely check out his website, watsonfarmhousebrewery.com, where you can check out, you know, everything that he's got going on there. And where else can people find you?
You know, like if down in Fairfield, we're definitely at Harry's and Moe's. And then we go as far as like Westport, we go to Walrus Alley. One of our greatest, you know, since I grew up in Ridgefield, Mitch Ancona.
Yes.
Ancona's Markets.
Sure.
Or not markets, but you know, their liquor stores.
And then Carolus. It
used
like
to be Ancona's Market right next to it, but they closed it. And now it's a CVS. But
right.
those guys, they're really enthusiastic about wine, spirits. They really go the extra mile for my product, and they really push it. And
that's awesome.
We're in Bantam at Bantam Market. We're like at the corner. We're at Eli's in Middletown from time to time on Draft Micro.
Awesome.
Texaco and Hamden.
Awesome.
Which Micro is like OG guy, man. He's like, you know, I don't know if you know Mike.
Yes.
But he's another. You should interview that dude one day.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You
can, I should. Dude. Yeah,
Mike's
I love
a,
that
Mike's
place.
A great dude.
Yeah, like, I love it.
Yeah, down there in. And then maybe you can get Matt Westfall one day, Counterweight.
I'd love to.
He's a great dude, man.
I'd love to.
Yeah, Matt, like those guys, like, but he's moving to Cheshire. You know, he used to be right up from Micro, and now he's moving to Cheshire.
Gotcha.
So his brewery's all moving.
My dad lives in Cheshire, yeah, no worries.
Yeah. No, it's closer. I like it now. Like, it's for us, it's like quicker to get Counterweight beer.
And then you're on Instagram as well, right?
Yeah, we have a Facebook. And
okay, cool.
You know, it's hard to manage two different breweries and manage like social media, but I try it. I don't hire anybody to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're not the most like responsive or whatever, but it's just because we're overworked and or we might just be like enjoying a beer or something and neglecting our phone. Which can happen, you know, like, and I'd like to, shout out to like some of the local people that really helped us out. Like, you know, like definitely New England Brewery, love Rob Leonard,
shout out to New England.
Greg Radovich, Brewers, Rob Ballard, Kent Falls.
Oh yeah, Kent Falls.
Yeah, Kent Falls boys.
Rob's the best.
Got my back all the time. Nod Hill, like those good, you know.
David Kay, baby.
Yeah, Dave Kay, you know. They actually wanted me to be their brewer at one point, but I had too much going on. Like I was like, you know, but you know, like those nice. Guys, you know, I used to make cask beer for their Christmas party every year at their family house.
Nice.
Like, you know, great memories of those guys.
Sure.
And just, you know, generally, you know, just everybody that's helped me along the way. I mean, just, geez, like, I can't, like, even say enough about Dan Holmes, Holmes Fine Gardens, like, just people that have...
That's my buddy.
...got my back, you know, like, just, like, believed in, you know, tasted my beer and went, you know what, you should not be plumbing anymore. You should be making beer and...
Exactly.
...kind of pushed me into, like, early retirement in the trades. But I understand, like, for a while, like, just winning so many awards over the years and, like, doing things I knew, like, it would be easy to do what I'm doing now, you know? And it's just, like, never, you know, when I wasn't plumbing, I was brewing beer in my basement, like, you know, three times a week. So it was like, you know, it wasn't easy to turn it over and, you know, but anyway, just everybody that's pushed me to be where I am now, I would thank people for helping along the way just to put me in the position where I am now to have control of my own destiny and do what I'm doing. And, you know, it's just like helping Nusam is, it feels like the right thing to do, you know, like they, you know, they pay me, but like, it's, it, you know, as long as they keep it fun, it's good, you know? Like,
well, I love it, man. And I am so glad that you allowed me into your dojo, like I was saying, so that we could have this chat. I'm so glad that you could tell your story and let people know that, you know, you went from one thing to now doing what you love, and there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
And listen, I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining me on Sweet Enough
Podcast. Yeah, anytime, man.
I wanted to have you on for a while.
I've never done a podcast before, so it's been
it's
like
an honor.
Really, you made it easy. So
thank you, man. Like, so did you.
You know, I can chat with the best of them, I guess, but like it's just like
man.
It's not like someone holding the camera in your face where you're
exactly.
like under the spotlight.
Exactly. We're just shooting the just shit. That's
having
it.
A beer hanging out.
That's it. But listen, John, thank you. I hope you have a great night.
Yeah.
I wish you nothing but the best. I'll be continuing to enjoy your beers, and I look forward to seeing you around. And we'll definitely get you on the show again sometime.
Don't hesitate, man.
Yeah, awesome.
Volume 2 is awaiting.
That's it. Well, listen, John, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of a 2-part podcast episode with my dear friend and master of beer, John Watson. Thank you so much, John, for coming on the show, sharing your journey through 2 episodes and everything else in between. Wish you nothing but continued success, and I will see you soon for another brew ASAP. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback and support. As a reminder, you can play the podcast with the help of your smart speaker by simply saying, "Play the podcast Sweeten Up with Jeff Spencer." Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Lutzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Passacretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. My guest on the podcast next week is the great and powerful Matthew Benever. Matthew Benever is the founder and owner of Bard's Clothing and began his business based on two loves, storytelling and clothing. Matthew graduated from Marist College with a degree in history, and after graduating, began working at a national retail organization. Over the next 5 years, he moved to a few different stores and finally landed in West Hartford, Connecticut at a men's specialty store. There, he spent 4.5 years spearheading the custom department, working under a master tailor and developing relationships with the best mills in the world. Matthew believes your clothing plays a vital role in selling yourself, even if it's as simple as a well-fitted shirt and a pair of jeans. We covered it all, but until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all, peace.